Hey, early risers, how you guys doing? Welcome. So glad you're here. Want to welcome those of you that have got up early to worship with us online as well. I think most of you know this young man, Mario Fernandez. In case you don't, Mario has been a pastor on our staff now for almost 27 years. And so he came on staff, I think we were both like 13 or 14 years old, something like that.
If that.
Yeah. And just has done a phenomenal job. During most of that time, he was overseeing our men's ministry, our small group ministry, and our compassion ministry. And a couple of months ago, Mario came to me and said, you know, I really feel like the Lord is wanting me to retire. And so next Sunday will be Mario's last Sunday on our staff. But I asked him to speak today. And before he does, I want to let you know that not only has Mario done just a phenomenal job as a pastor over all these years, I just want to give you one example. You know, years ago, I asked Mario to oversee our, quote, compassion ministry and to grow that ministry because we really want to minister to the under-resourced and all that. And our compassion ministry at that time really consisted of only a shelf of food in a closet in whatever building we happened to be in at that time. And many of you know now our compassion ministry is an entire building that's open 7 days a week and literally ministers to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And that's because of Mario's incredible leadership and oversight. And before he speaks, I also want you to know, you know, Thora, my wife, and I are so grateful to Mario and his wife, Danetta, for saying yes to coming on our staff so many years ago, and so grateful for them and all that they've inputted into our church. And I want you to know, we would not be the church we are today without Mario and Danetta Fernandez and all that they've given to Vineyard Church North Phoenix. So as Mario comes, I want you to give him a very warm Vineyard North Phoenix welcome. Give it up!
Thank you. Thank you. Brian, I want to take the opportunity to just thank you and Thora for allowing me to be a part of this ride for the past 27 years. 33 that my family and I have been a part of this church. It has been phenomenal. I want to thank you so much for believing in me, trusting me with some important ministries here at our church, our compassion ministry, our men's ministry, our small group ministry. Amen. And you have been a great boss to me as I have led those ministries, and I want to thank you so much. Thank you for your leadership, for your example, for your friendship. I know that I'm a much better person because of you guys in my life. Thank you so much.
Bless you, brother.
Before I get into my message, I do need to say a thank you to someone very, very important to me. And so I'd like to honor my wife, Danetta. Danetta, would you please stand, please? You know, your ministry here to our church, your sacrifice, your giving, your service is so noteworthy. Proverbs 31:10 says, a wife of noble character who can find, she is worth more than rubies. And I can honestly say, I have found such a wife. I have found a woman of amazing, noble character. I know that apart from God, you have been my greatest support. You have been my person who has encouraged me, my teacher. You have been my everything. And I would not be the man or the pastor I am apart from you in my life. Danetta, I thank you. I love you. Amen. I would say more about her, but I know that before too long, someone in the room would just simply yell, "Get a room!" So let me say good morning to all of you who are here in this room and to those of you who are online. Good morning. My message this morning is titled Remembering. And the idea of remembering is a theme that runs throughout the scriptures. God instructed the nation Israel to annually celebrate the Passover as a reminder of the time when God passed over their homes in Egypt and spared their firstborn, but took the life of the Egyptians' firstborn. Jesus established communion when he was with his 12 disciples as they partook of their last meal together before the cross, and he gave them instruction to take of bread and wine together in remembrance of him and his sacrificial death. The nation Israel, after they had crossed over the Jordan River and finally got into the promised land, Joshua instructed 12 leaders, one from each tribe, to go back into the riverbed as the water had been stopped and to take a stone from the riverbed and to bring it with them onto the west side of the Jordan. And they were going to set it up as a memorial. Thank you. It's time I retire, I'm telling you. As a memorial of God's faithfulness and great power. You see, the act of remembering is so important through scriptures, and it is important for us as saints of God to remember his faithfulness. I want you to listen to the words of the Apostle Peter as he speaks to the church of Jesus, and listen to how many times he talks about this thing of remembering. It's found in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. He says, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body." Verse 15, "And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things." You know, Peter, knowing that he is coming to the end of his life here on earth, what does he do? He calls the church to remembrance. Today, as I preach my swan song sermon here at the Vineyard as a staff pastor, what I believe, according to my count, is my 144th message here over the past 33 years. I want to invite you to join me on a journey as I remember the goodness and faithfulness of God that I have experienced over the past 4.5 decades of walking with Jesus. As my family has been here at Vineyard Church North Phoenix for 33 years, and of those 33 years, 27 as a pastor on staff. I mentioned earlier that the imagery of the nation Israel collecting those stones as a memorial, I want to borrow that imagery this morning as we remember some of the truths and power of God. And the first thing that I want us to remember, the first stone, is that God is faithful to equip us for good works. God is faithful to equip us for good works. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You see, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ for our salvation, a wonderful thing occurs. We are given purpose, and in a sense, a new spiritual DNA to do good works. These good works are acts of kindness, acts of righteousness towards others that build them up and bring glory to God. The latter part of verse 10 says that God
prepared in advance for us to do these. You see, God has already done the heavy lifting of these good works. Our job is simply to say, yes, God, I will follow you and I will partner with you and I will be a part of those good works. Let me point out that to do these good works, we must be willing to give him the little we possess. Listen to what God said to Moses after God had told Moses that he was going to be the deliverer of Israel. It's in Exodus chapter 4, begins in verse 1. Moses answered God, "What if the Israelites do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to Moses, "What is in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake and he ran from it. The scripture goes on and God instructs Moses, grab that snake by the tail, and he does, and as he does that, it becomes the staff again. And God was going to use that staff through Moses to do many miracles in Egypt. You see, it was when Moses let go of the staff that was in his hand, that's when God could do the miracle through him. As long as our staff, our skills, our talents, our abilities, and maybe even our fears stay in our control, we limit God. But if we were to say yes, if we say yes to God as he calls us to throw it down, to leave it before him, to trust him in this call, he will do mighty things through us. You know, the truth of this began to be very real for me when I was 20 years old. I'd only been about 2 years in the faith, and I was living in California. I was driving my vehicle in the city of Downey, California, on Firestone Boulevard, and it was in my little pickup truck. And God had for a few days been speaking to me about his want in my life. You see, I was in a community college. I was in my second year of studies and was planning to be a school teacher. And God was, at the time, speaking to me, "I want you to go to Bible college. I want you to change your educational career." And I knew that if he was calling me to Bible college, it only meant one thing, that he was calling me to ministry. And some of that didn't strike me as odd or funny and was actually a little bit inviting, but there was a part of it that I was very scared of, very fearful. It was the fact of having to be in front of people, having to speak in front of people. And so on that drive, I told God a number of different reasons why he had the wrong person, why he needed to choose someone else. And in that process, God patiently listened to me. But there came a point when he stopped me and he spoke to me, and it wasn't an audible voice, and I don't even remember exactly how it came to me so clearly as it did, but it did. And he spoke to me and he said, "If I call you, I will equip you. If I call you, I will equip you." And these past 27 years plus of pastoral ministry, I can testify of God's faithfulness. Many times, many, many times, I have been over my head. But God has been faithful. God has showed up, and God has been able to use me beyond myself. He's called me to reach into that proverbial toolbox in which there is just the toolbox but no tools, and just going in to pull out of that proverbial toolbox, and he has the very thing that I need in that moment. If I call you, I will equip you. The Apostle Paul, he says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." And I can say that as well. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Let me ask you a question. How has God used you? How has God asked you to throw down your staff? How has God been speaking to you? Will you surrender to me? Will you give that little that you possess that I may make much of it? Yes, he asked that of us. And let me be the voice this morning that speaks to you as he spoke to me and say to you, if he calls you, he will equip you. I'd like us to look at the second stone that I want us to remember. And that is that God is faithful to sustain us through dark times. I've experienced several times during my walk with Jesus what others have called the dark night of the soul. You see, the dark night of the soul can be described as an extremely difficult and painful period in one's life. Perhaps it's a time in which you feel the distance of God. You feel like he's not close. He's away. His eye is not upon you. Or maybe in that time you also feel some aloneness from others. You feel like you are doing this by yourself. Maybe even your faith begins to wane, begins to shudder and shake. I can think of two seasons like this in my life, particularly, that stand out. They both have to do with my call and ministry life. The first took place when I was in my early 30s. It was after I had left my pastoral job where Janetta and I had pastored in Chandler for 4 years, and I was now working at the airport for America West Airlines and had worked there for several years. And in the process, just wondering, God, what are you doing with my life? Why am I here at the airport working and doing a job that was simply taking mail from a basket that was in a bag or in a tray of mail and moving it from this mixed assortment of mail and putting it in carts of different locations to go to the planes? God, what are you doing? I can remember telling my wife, at one point, that I feel like Naomi in the book of Ruth. When Naomi comes back to her hometown and the ladies gather around here, and is that Naomi? And she says, no, no longer call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for my life is bitter. And I felt like that. I felt like my life had become bitter, become empty, and much of God was gone from my life. A second time in my life when I've experienced the dark season of the soul was in my mid-40s to late 40s, somewhere in there. And I was reflecting on my life, reflecting on the dreams, the desires of my heart, and had been struggling for a number of years with that, wondering if it was ever going to come to fruition. And one morning in particular, I went for a walk and was praying as I had done often. And on this particular morning, something was different. I just came to a point where I said, God, I cannot hope anymore for this dream. It hurts too much. I have held it for too long. I can't continue to hope for this dream in my life. And I told God, I got to let it go. I can't believe for it anymore. And I didn't know at that moment that in just doing that and saying that and releasing that from me, that it was maybe kind of like the Jenga game of wooden blocks, and instead of taking the blocks at the beginning of the game from on high, it was like taking a block from low and when it was unstable. And in the process of making that declaration, my life began to crumble. It began to affect other areas and other things of my view of God, and it was struggling at that time. You know, both times, my 30s, my late 40s, I felt fractured. I felt broken, out of step what I knew as the norm. There were times when I felt out of gas, on fumes, not burned out from doing things of God, but burned out of hoping for the things of God. And in those times, God carried me. He sustained me. He held me. He did not let me go. You see, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, here is a trustworthy statement. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. If we are faithless, he is faithful. I am so thankful and grateful to God's keeping power. You see, I don't stand here because I'm special in any way. I simply stand here because I follow a special God who has been able to hold me in those times and to bring healing into my life. I would like to say, perhaps if you right now maybe in your life are going through a dark season of the soul, I would encourage you, don't give up. God is faithful to sustain you through dark times. The third stone I want us to remember is that God is faithful to fulfill his promises to us. I want to talk specifically about those promises where God has either spoken to us directly into our hearts by the scriptures, by the Holy Spirit, or perhaps he has used an individual to speak a prophetic word to you. See, the Apostle Paul, in speaking to his son in the faith, Timothy, he says to him, "Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well." And again, and he goes on, he says, "Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy, when the body of elders laid their hands on you." I can think of a specific time some 40 years ago when a church leader spoke to Danetta and I and gave us a prophetic word. It was a word that had three elements to it. And the first element was that you will have a turtle ministry. You will have a turtle ministry. What? I don't know what that means, but why couldn't he say, you will have a lion ministry? You know, big and powerful, king of the jungle. Or maybe you will have an elephant ministry that will be massive and big. Or maybe even a zebra ministry that is unique and eye-catching. No, God was speaking through him that you, as a couple, will have a turtle ministry. Over the years, I've had an opportunity to think about that a lot, and I've kind of come to terms with, I think, what some of that means. I think a turtle ministry is an enduring ministry, a ministry that has staying power to it, longevity, persistence, and tenacity. I think of the fable, the tortoise and the hare. You know, the hare was the one who was ready to go. He was the one who was fast and flashy. He was ready to take off. And the tortoise was slow and just plodded along faithfully, left foot, right foot in the race. In my younger days, I wanted to be the rabbit. I wanted to be flashy and fast. I wanted that to be the mark of my ministry. But as I've grown older, more mature, I've become more comfortable with the skin I am in, or maybe should I say the shell I am in. It is a great thing to be able to finish a race, to leave a legacy, to be dependable, to be stable. And I thank God that he's given us a turtle ministry. The second thing that God spoke to us in that prophetic word was kind of more specifically to me. And he said, God is giving you a macho man ministry. Hot dog, a macho man ministry. Now keep in mind, this was in the 80s, and the lingo of hearing a macho man ministry. Now I can go with that, God. Thank you very much. By God's grace, I've had the great privilege over almost three decades now to lead our men here at Vineyard Church North Phoenix. I have co-labored with many awesome men over the years. I've watched men step up and say yes to Jesus, Yes, I will be there for my family. Yes, I will be there to serve my church. Yes, I will reach out to my community. Vineyard men, I want to let you know that I'm very proud of you. I'm so proud of you, men. I love you. And I say to you, stay strong, stay courageous. The latter thing that God spoke to Danette and I in this prophetic word was, your latter end will be greater than your beginning. My wife has been retired now for nearly a year, and after next Sunday, I too will join her in retirement, and we are excited to think about what God may have for us. What is this greater latter end that He might do in and through us? It's exciting for us to think of, man, to think of all that TV time I'm going to have. And well, you know what? There is going to be some TV time because I do like TV, but that's not really what it's about. It's about being able to spend time with my family, to visit friends, to be able to be involved in ministry. You see, I've had the pleasure, the incredible blessing, as I've served in these three areas here in this church, that's where my heart has been, and I've loved it, enjoy it, and that's what I will continue to be a part. Only I will get to do it as a volunteer. I'll get to maybe leave a little earlier. Yeah. I want to ask you, has God spoken any promises to you? Has He said something to you, maybe through the scriptures or maybe even through a prophetic word to you? And are you still holding on to it? Have you seen Him show His faithfulness already through it? Or do you need to kind of take it off the shelf, dust it off, and begin to believe again for that word to you? I would encourage you to remember that God is faithful to His promise. I'd like to look at this fourth and final stone. And that is that God is faithful to unite us to something bigger and better than just ourselves. For most of us, if not all of us, there's a desire within us. If we take the time to think about it, to slow down, to realize that we have a desire to be a part of something bigger and better than just ourselves, to have purpose in life. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, For He rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sin. You see, when we put our faith in Jesus, we are placed into the family of God and His kingdom. The local church is where we currently find that expression of God's family and His kingdom. And that's why the scriptures speak of us who are in faith as brothers and sisters in Christ. Those of us who call Vineyard Church North Phoenix our home, I want to remind you that we are here in this church and we are part of this body of faith, not simply because we chose to, but God has placed us here. God has brought us here. He's put us here. We are in a place that is bigger than us. And I'm not talking about the size of our church, but it is the reality of the local church and what it means. You know, this church is not perfect, but it's the right church for us. He's put us here. I want to share with you a little bit about how God brought us, my family, here to this church. My wife and I were pastoring a church in Chandler, and God had been speaking to us about stepping down from pastoring that church, but we didn't really know what that was going to mean, where we were going to go from there. And it was at a time where we were praying about it, and one day I'd come home, and to give you an idea of how long ago it was, I pulled out my briefcase, not my backpack, but my briefcase. And I started like emptying some stuff out, throwing away some trash, and there was one brochure that I had in my briefcase I had held in there for a couple weeks. And as I was throwing away the trash, I was looking at this brochure and about to toss it in the bucket, and Danetta was sitting at her dining table a little bit away, and she usually is not involved in my trash throwing. But she said, "What do you got in your hand? What are you going to throw away?" And I said, oh, it's a brochure about a conference that is taking place in Vineyard, Anaheim, California. Oh, do you want to go? She said. I said, yeah, I would love to go, but I know we don't have the money. Finances were extremely tight at that time in our life. And so I said, you know, we don't have the money. And she says, well, why don't we pray about it? Why don't we see what God wants to do? And just out of respect and kindness to her, I said, okay, let's do that. I didn't have the faith. And we prayed. And then a couple days later, she got a call from someone, a couple who had visited our church either the week or 2 weeks before. And the lady had called and said, hey, listen, just want to let you know we came and visited your church, and we really enjoyed it. Such a nice group of people. And she said, but I do want to let you know that we live in Scottsdale, so we're not going to be able to come to your church. But we wanted to bless you. We want to send you a little gift, and I want to see if I can get your home address. It's for you. It's not for the church. It's not a donation. So Janetta gave her the address, and she told me about the phone call, and we thought about it. I thought, okay, well, maybe they're going to send us $25, $50. We can go to dinner. A few days later, we got a letter in the mail from them. We opened it up, a sweet, nice note, and then there was a check for $500. So I signed up for the conference. I went to the conference, and while I was there, God was speaking really strongly to me and just really wanting to continue the relationship that I was beginning with the Vineyard movement. And the conference lasted for about 3 days, and the first day that I was there, just checking in, you know, registering, I can remember there was a gentleman in front of me, a rather large, sizable man, maybe about 6'4", 6'5", stocky gentleman with really bright red hair. And he was talking to the person in front of him, and I remember overhearing that he was saying that he was from the Phoenix area and that his pastor was here at the conference as well. And so at the last day of the conference, I thought, man, I sure would like to connect with someone who's in Phoenix, a pastor perhaps who's there with the Vineyard. And so I remembered, oh yeah, that guy in front of me a few days ago, he said that he was from the Phoenix area and his pastor was here. And so I prayed and I asked God, you know, Lord, this last day, last session, can you help me to run into that guy again so I can meet him and maybe he can introduce me to his pastor? And sure enough, in the hallway there he was, and I introduced myself to him. His name was Randy, and I said, hey, I heard you speaking a few days ago that your pastor is here at the conference. Is it possible, can you introduce me to him? He said, sure, if we can find him. And so we looked around in the auditorium and stuff, and we found his pastor, and he introduced me to him. And sure enough, who do you think it was? Brian T. Anderson. Yeah, so I met Brian over in Anaheim, California. And the first thing out of Brian's mouth was, wow, you're really good looking. Well, maybe he didn't say exactly that, but that's how I remember the conversation starting. He's been man-crushing on me ever since. But we talked and told him about we're from Chandler and love to get together with you. And so that started our relationship. And, you know, cutting the story short, Danetta and I became part of our church 33 years ago. We were meeting at 51st Avenue and Thunderbird, a strip mall there. I think our church size was about 175 people. We got plugged in, we got involved in small group, we got just about every ministry possible. Over the time, our kids grew up in the church, they've been part of Vineyard Kids Ministry and part of youth group. And in that process, 6 years into our coming to this church, I came on staff 27 years ago. And this 27 years, I've had an amazing privilege to be one of your pastors, to be a part of a pastoral team that I can't express their greatness, how awesome they are. They truly are men and women who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only have I been a part of a great pastoral team, but I have had the privilege in these 27 years to get to know and lead you, to be a part of the pastoral staff that is feeding the sheep. And I want you to know, I love you. I love you guys so much. I count it an honor. I count it an honor to have been able to spend most of my adult life with you. It has been a great privilege. I'm going to close this message this morning with a charge to you. Simply to do this: love Christ, love His cause, love the church. Love Christ, love His cause, love the church. Will you do that? I hope so. I pray so. I want to invite you to stand right now. I've invited our band to lead us in one more worship song. It's called The Goodness of God, and as we sing it, I want to invite you to think of God's goodness in your own life and how He has faithfully been there for you. And let's love on Him in this song.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Let's sing all my life. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. The goodness of God. Sing all my life. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am in. with every breath that I
I'd like to invite our ministry team to come forward. In a moment, we're going to have some men and women who will be up here. If you'd like to receive prayer, they're here for you. They'd love to pray with you, with whatever is going on in your life, whatever you may need prayer for. Give them an opportunity to join with you in prayer before our Heavenly Father. At this time, I'd like to just close our service and pray for us together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. To each and every one of us, Lord, you are faithful and good. Lord, may we continue to just share that with those around us, Lord, those in this room, those outside this room. Lord, we thank you so much for all of this. And we ask you for your favor, your blessing, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.